pooling in gullies and trickling along to form streams that flowed toward the quarry. The warning bell stopped ringing, and the trooper knew he was out of luck and time. Holding a hand to his forehead, he dashed into the rain, heading for the slave quarters. Stinging fire pelted him on the back, and pieces of his blue uniform flopped to his sides. He started to scream as the pain reached intolerable levels, but he kept going, combat boots splashing in the deadly water, the soles softening. He crashed against the door to the slave quarters and grabbed the handle with both hands. Safety was only a foot away. He had made it. He would live. Yanking the door open, he saw a slave standing in his way. Grinning fiendishly, the woman struck the sick man with a bucket, the blow knocking him backward into the rain. He landed sprawling, the skin on his hands blistering instantly. As he shouted a curse, the water trickled into his mouth, swelling his tongue and burning the taste of sulfur down his throat. Recoiling, he tried to stand and fell face first into a puddle. Sizzling agony washed his face, and he stood, realizing in horror that he was blind. Frantic, he ran for the dish once more and slammed into something large and hard. One of the support columns? He had no idea. The agony was overwhelming. He couldn't think. Run. He had to run. The sound of an engine caught his attention, and the bleeding man stumbled in that direction, whispering for help, the flesh sagging off the bones of his exposed hand. There was a splash. He tried to dodge something and rammed into hot metal. A Hummer. Those were coated with plastic against the rain. He would be safe inside. Grimacing in fear, the sick man inside the Hummer stayed motionless behind the wheel, his hand tight on the door handle to make sure it didn't open. The dying man beat on the glass with a bloody fist, the bones already showing. In a moment of compassion, the driver raised a pistol and pointed the blaster at the melting man, only to lower the weapon. The blast would shatter the window and let the rain inside. There was nothing he could do to help the poor son of a bitch.
I'm sorry.
Sagging out of sight, the man's cries got weaker as his skin flowed off, exposing muscles and beating organs. Soon, only buttons, an ammo clip, and some plastic pieces of combat boots would remain to mark the demise of the man. Mercilessly, the rain continued pounding down upon the Shiloh Valley, destroying everything organic it touched. Returning to the top floor of the redoubt, the companions walked along the main corridor that led to the barracks. The last time they were there, the hallway had been dark and lined with traps. Now it was well lit and spotlessly clean.
Gotta give old Silas that much. He was tidy.
Anal retentive.
Unsure of the meaning, Jack chose the dirtiest version he could think of and snorted a laugh.
Good one.
Going into the barracks, the companions found the four huge rooms were exactly the same as remembered, lined with bunks for hundreds of troops, small adjacent laundry rooms, and a line of lavs with rows of showers and stalls. Choosing the most clean room, they checked once more for traps, then barricaded the door with a pile of bunks. Dean and Jack stood guard, while the others hit the showers and scrubbed themselves clean of days of sweat mixed with the bitter ash from outside. Then the others did the laundry, while the albino youth and the boy showered in private stalls. The washing machine squealed unhappily, then sluggishly began to chug away. The bottles of bleach were bone dry, and adding water produced no results. But there were U.S. Army-issue plastic boxes full of individual packets of detergent and softener. In a few hours, the companions were scrubbed and wearing clean clothes. Fed and clean for the first time in days, the companions chose the rooms reserved for officers, bolted the doors, and fell soundly asleep. Nobody even dreamed. By the light of the cold, pale moon, the old man stared at the ruin of his ville, the melted stone towers, the burned huts, bits of cooked corpses sticking out of the flat acres of stone like insects caught in cool wax. Reaching into a vest pocket, Baron John Henderson removed an antique silver snuff box, opened it, and sniffed a pinch of the powder up each nostril. His body spasmed as the mixture of tobacco and jolt rushed to his brain. and suddenly he felt young and vibrant. As the drug took hold of his consciousness, colors changed hues, shimmering and melting into one another. The sensation of the experience made him feel giddy. The Baron of what remained of Casanovaville was wearing a pre-dark business suit. He usually wore velvet slippers, but they had been replaced with stout leather boots. Tassels hung from an ornamental saber at his hip, but the fringe was stained and frayed. The big blaster in his shoulder holster was spotty, the gold filigree from the weapon forcibly pried off with a knife. Only the holster itself was in good condition, covered with fancy rainbow embroidery. The suit was clean but not pressed, the buttons dim and scratched. Scabs from some disease dotted his unshaved face, his fingernails were caked with filth, his hair greasy, and he smelled of urine. The reek was covered somewhat by the cloying perfume liberally applied to his old body. But there was a fire in his eyes not fueled by the drugs, and his face radiated a strength of character that few men didn't fear. Controlling his breathing, Baron Henderson knelt and placed a hand on the gray stone. It was hot, but not sizzling. Even after a week it was still hot. His grandson wouldn't allow the Baron to visit the destroyed ville until he was sure it was safe. Safe. The very word tasted like shit in his mouth. What the hell was safe in Deathlands? A well of fury rose within the Baron, his grotesque face contorting in feral rage. Quickly, his grandson stepped forward and yanked his hand off the cooling lava. William Henderson inspected the palm. It was red, but not burned in any way.
Damn it, I told you what it looked like. Just had to see for yourself, eh?
The young Henderson was wearing camo-colored military fatigues, combat boots, with matching blasters on each hip. He was dressed like a soldier for combat, and only resembled his grandfather in the set of his shoulders and the madness in his face. The Hendersons had been breeding with their own bloodline for generations, to try to purify the family of any weakness. Many were born without arms or legs, some unable to breathe on their own. These were simply aced and burned, their very births denied. William had been the first whole Henderson in 3 decades, and while his body was perfect, even his grandfather feared the cold temper of the young Adonis. Shaking off the youth's hand, the Baron said nothing as he looked over the destruction of Casanovaville. Almost 400 people had died in the attack, nearly half of his sect men, and damn near every horse they owned, plus the wags and juice. The loss of slaves and blasters alone was heartbreaking.
15 minutes.
Crossing his arms, William nodded.
One of the guards was doing a slave in the bushes. He had just started when he heard the screaming and felt a wave of heat. Unfortunately, he didn't look up until he finished and saw the castle slag to the ground like melting ice.
The Baron rose stiffly. Even the jolt couldn't remove all his pain these days.
You killed him, of course. The damn fool should have turned at once. Always time to hump a slut, but this could have been a chemfire, lightning strike, something controllable. There might have been something he could have done to save my vill.
Narrowing his eyes to slits, William stared at the old reprobate, limbs quivering from the jolt, wine and other things staining his clothes as flies buzzed everywhere. Blood of his blood, the young man was still repulsed by the stinking white hair.
We strapped a knife to the slut and tied him down to a tree stump, offered her freedom if she chilled him.
The Baron stood taller, a faint smile playing on his chapped lips.
Original. Most amusing. The man died fast. No, wait. She took her time, savoring the kill. How long before he stopped begging for you to release him and switched to begging for you to chill him?
2 hours. The girl had style.
Excellent. Bring her to my tent tonight.
I can't. She's gone. I gave my word and set her free afterward.
Turning his back on the desolation of the congealing stoneworks, the Baron shook his head sadly.
Honor and dignity, gods of the atom, what crap! I never should have let your idiot mother raise you.
Really? Yet it is only my word to my mother that keeps me here protecting you, you filthy, disgusting old freak.
William drew a blaster and pressed the barrel to the man's temple.
Black dust, I want to chill you more than I can say.
The old Baron grinned, displaying his assortment of stained and rotting teeth.
Then do it, or shut the fuck up and get out of my way. You're as weak as your father was.